Do you guys know that it's coming up on a year since I joined as a permanent co-host?
What?
What?
Wow.
Yeah, because that's crazy. Right, so like astute listeners might be thinking, but what? No. Matt's first episode was the Love Actually one. That's the first one as a co-host. It was Christmas. But of course, spooky season's upon us next month. And it wasn't our first one. Because I came in with the big idea of let's all record our recording separately.
Oh, this is shameful.
No, we don't need to go into whose fault it was. I think it's...
Well, they're now going to know.
I actually forgot about whose fault it was.
It was my fault. I completely forgot about that.
It's the incompetent Heather.
It was Heather's fault in absentia.
The bitch from the ditch. The woman who lives in London. Heather... I shouldn't say her second name, but she was responsible, very responsible for that episode's demise.
No, the only reason I was thinking about it lately was because a few people have said recently, Helen, we were talking about this, that some of our listeners think that we're all in the same room when we record.
Mm.
Which I initially...
But in reality, it's just Matt, me and Matt alone. And Helen's a part of our, what you call it, DID... Our other world.
Your system.
Yeah, she's a part of our system.
Which I initially took as a compliment, but then I was like, how stupid can you be? Sorry to those listeners.
To those listeners, but you're like, oh.
I talk about Berlin all the time, and then Glenn tells me to shut up about Berlin. Like, it happens all the time.
Mm. Yeah, and then we reference Heather being British and everything. The listeners are like, they're all together. Yeah.
And also, I don't think I'd be as callous to Heather's face. You know what I mean? I need the distance. Like all online trolls, I'm a coward. So I need the screen in between me and the person who I'm slagging to fully feel like, you know, realize my friends are laughing at the moment. But like, I mean, I do think that I need that little bit of distance to really twist the blade. You know what I mean?
It's just funny because I've seen you heartlessly attack and destroy people in person. So I just think it's a funny way for you to view yourself.
Heartlessly attack? Come on now.
Yeah, remember when you jumped that old man in the street?
It's not heartless. I don't think if you do something with like full of pleasure and full of passion, you know?
Full of passion. Yeah.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah, he was so happy afterwards and he was so erect.
You say a lot about Glenn, but you can't say the boy's not got heart.
Yeah, that's true. It's two sizes too big, the doctors are telling me. I know that I just want to congratulate you, Matt, on your anniversary. And as a part of your anniversary gift, spoiler alert, me and Helen knew that this is going to be an anniversary episode. We have written you a rap. The rap is about economics because we know you're an ecky head. How Matt introduced us is he's an ecky head.
An ecky head.
And that's why he moved to Berlin to understand economics. Apparently. So this is my freestyle rap on.
Have you got a beat?
The budget. No. Well, like I don't know. This is. Hold on. Will this work? My name is Glenn, and I'm here to say. I'm about to do a budget rap in a budget way. This is called the Rap of Gods. Matt's here for a year. Let's all have some logs. Ticka, ticka, ticka. Wicka, wicka, whoa. And then Helen goes...
No.
Take it, Helen.
No, absolutely not.
Well, just listeners, imagine.
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, we can do it. And then listeners, imagine me and Helen standing back to back and we turn our caps to the side. I'm a purist when it comes to rap. I stopped listening to anything after 1985.
The first rap song. They've done it. Yeah. They've nailed it. Yeah. that budget I would say the budget rap could have done with being a little bit more budget and a little bit less, basically.
You don't understand the fiscal term logs?
A bit less.
L-O-G?
No, I understand it perfectly. It just doesn't rhyme with gods.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't.
And there's like so many words that would have round go with on, Helen. Gods.
Hit us.
Like
gods.
Clods. Flods. Clods. Yeah, clods.
Yeah. They're all a bunch of clods. They're all a bunch of clods. Get up on my nanny. You're all a bunch of clods. Give my nanny back her pension. A wooko. Give me nanny back her wet. She's cold in this house. She's cold in this house. Everybody give my nanny her pension back. She's cold. I'm only joking. My nanny's dead. Dead as a door now. She's maggots.
So,
good.
Yeah, we're talking about the budget, right? So are you guys ready to channel? I know you are, Glenn. I can see it in your eyes. Are you ready to channel your inner Pat Leahy and give the listeners some insight, some flaming hot insight, some political analysis?
I listened to Inside Politics today in preparation for this podcast. So I just want listeners to know what I have been through. I had to listen to that man say, budget today, it kind of reminded me of the toy show, and it's just giveaways, giveaways, giveaways.
Jesus.
And then, as in, I want him dead. And then later, he was talking about because it was just there was a bunch of different topics, and he was talking about the new census in the north. Yeah. And he said that Catholics had a stated goal of trying to outbreed Protestants.
That is absolutely fucking wild.
I was like, sorry, and we're the loony left tinfoil hat maniacs.
He's getting confused with you, Helen.
I do a lot. With my stated goal to outbreed politics.
All of politics. She will produce more. She's our queen. She has eggs for days.
Scratch that.
I don't think crabs are your babies, though.
We can't be like Pat Leahy, because famously he's made a career off never getting a single thing right in his entire life. And I think...
Hold on.
I think we've got at least one.
Okay, so is Pat Leahy the one that looks like a haunted librarian or the fag?
No, the fag is Harry McGee, isn't it? Or Hugh Hefner.
No, he's a homosexual. He doesn't deserve the term fag. He doesn't deserve it.
But he wouldn't like it.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, yeah, that's true.
We could bully him with it.
But it's like, oh my God, what are you going to do? Guess what? Your childhood never ended. You're just as unpopular now, bitch. You just got that smug... fucking bookish bitch look.
Padley looks like a scone.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. He looks like a human scone.
I really dry.
And his eyes are made of currants. That's very what you call it, blind boy type humor, isn't it? Just like he looks like a human scone. That's perfect Limerick accent. Yeah.
God, I didn't realize he was extremely old. No, sorry, I'm looking at a United States Senator.
You gotta put in the Irish Times in the search.
I did it. Oh, he is so unpleasant.
So what was he saying?
It was quite a brief, before the budget kind of thing.
Okay.
And he just talked about the different handouts and then said the usual, how are we gonna pay for it though? Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing particularly astute or interesting.
I think obviously they're using the fucking bonfire that is the United Kingdom as a kind of a literal smokescreen for their kind of shitty economic policies. Everybody who's writing or has the ability to write in a newspaper and get published has been just screaming how we are bastions of responsibility next to these Liz Truss fucking up the pound and blah, 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 blah. And behind the kind of obvious indifference and ire towards the millions of British working class people who are going to literally be ground down into dust, it's just not true. They're not able to even understand our own economic position with any type of clarity whatsoever. They're very, very, very dumb.
And they've been doing this just since 2016, right? Since the Brexit vote and since the United States voted in Trump, there's been this fucking smugness at the heart of all political analysis and correspondence and politics itself in Ireland that at least we're not like them. We're not this big dumpster fire or whatever. It's okay, but I mean, I don't know. At least they're doing some politics.
We kind of are a giant dumpster fire. Yeah, as in to look around Ireland and think that things are... I look around Ireland, I practically see a failed state at this stage in terms of all of our public services are garbage, or we can't provide housing for people. Like, I
and there's no meaningful political contestation as well, which to me is a complete sign of a failed state.
Yeah. So, like, I do not be looking around being like, wow, things are so good here. I mean, we can't even get buses to run on time. Like, do you know when?
Do you know who can't get buses to run on time?
Do you know who got buses on time now? Yeah. And they had some flaws, but I will give the one thing there.
Yeah, Matt's an expert in the prison.
The prison.
I saw someone tweet the other day. I'm sorry to whoever it was. Someone I follow saying, I don't know much about Italian politics, but as an Irish person, it's great to see a Maloney get into power.
Oh shit! I just got the connection. It does seem strange that there is so many. Did you notice as well? Sorry, this is just popping into my brain. Did you see what they did with the newspaper tax?
No,
it's been lowered from 9% to zero. Yeah. They don't have to pay any tax.
No, it's just newspapers. It's just VAT. It's not like
the VAT.
Yeah, it's not corporate tax. Yeah. Newspaper profits. It's just VAT. Yeah.
Oh, but like, I mean, that's a corporation, but as in like the actual product of a newspaper, they're trying to encourage people to buy newspapers as a dead medium.
They're like, I'll give you a euro if you buy the Irish Times. Yeah, I get the vibe.
Well,
Why?
I wonder, will prices go down or will that just be more? I don't know. We'll see.
Is it like all newspapers or like, I mean, what? There must be some sort of technical like bracket which says this is a newspaper, this is a magazine. But like, I feel like I don't know. It's a fucking dead medium. Listen to a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, which we don't charge. We don't have to pay VAT on this either because we don't make any money.
That's true. We're doing it for the passion. But all.
But actually, that huge influx of corporation tax money that's funding our budget.
Oh,
that
yeah.
came from us.
That's true.
Like, that was from our Patreon.
And our wonderful sponsor.
Thank you to our listeners.
What's that fucking... I was going to make a joke and I forgot the name of the company, so never mind. What's that fucking
Lockheed Martin.
Peter Thiel company when he named after some Lord of the Rings nerdy bullshit and it's making like weapons that are going to kill black people in America or something? Peloton? That's the fucking cycling thing. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Peloton. I don't know.
Is it called like after like the God of War or something?
It's like, some... I think it's literally Lord of the Rings shit.
Oh, gross.
I don't know who Peter Thiel is. Peter
He's a homosexual.
He is a Palantir. Peter Thiel. Oh, we could do a whole Palantir. Podcast on Peter Thiel.
No, fuck them. Who fucking... Honestly, who buys a newspaper anymore? Just, like, read it on your phone or, you know... What was that thing the liberals were pushing while Trump was in? It was like, if you don't pay for it, you're the product.
I mean, that's kind of a pretty accurate analysis for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, like, as in for, like, it's like data gathering. Okay, so we have the newspaper tax in the budget, but I would say that is actually probably one of the least interesting elements of the budget. Do we want to give everyone a quick overview? I'm sure you'll have read the fucking articles, although some of you, as we said, are dumb, but I'm sure you can read.
Oh, I didn't say they were dumb. I said the fucking journalists were dumb. But
no,
yeah.
Me and Matt said the listeners are dumb.
Oh, okay.
But they can probably read.
I take it back. Helen doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just Helen alone.
No, I'm messing. I love...
It's just Helen alone.
Oh, I love the listeners. Okay. So you're going to obviously see a lot about this being a sort of like social welfare budget where the government say that they're like addressing the cost of living. So we obviously have seen some good things come out of the budget, but I would say on a structural level... they're still obviously chugging along with this sort of, you know, neoliberal capitalist bullshit that they always be doing, which is like what we would just expect of them. We're obviously not going to expect mass structural change from a fucking Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil budget. But I guess we can briefly go over some of the positives or whatever, some of the changes, and then talk about how they're not good enough.
Yeah, what are the headline figures, Zach?
Okay, so we've got like social welfare rates are going to be increased by 12 euro. Most like NGOs and stuff who are working with people were calling for 20 euro. So it's actually like a lot less than what was sort of like recommended by people who are like actually directly working with people who are like on the dole or receiving social welfare or whatever. There's been a bunch of other changes to like social welfare that I won't go through now. And then there's been like a bunch of lump sums, 500 euro lump sum for like different families, carers, stuff like that. And I feel like this has come up a few times where they're also giving like €5 like cred, 500, five quid, €500 rent credit, credit to renters and stuff like that.
Yeah, tax credits. Often,
yeah, tax credits to renters. And they're giving, again, they're giving like a €200, or I think it's like €200 per household or some shit, fucking electricity allowance, you know, shit like that. Which I always just am like, sorry, are we like 12? Like, as in, how do you address structural problems by being like, giving you €500? It just seems...
Don't spend it all on the so one energy dumb. Supplier. Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, because who's that money? Okay. Like, that's just money. Rather than spending money on housing or spending money on some sort of infrastructural change to change the energy infrastructure in the country, you're actually just spending money... Like, you're just giving money to the providers of these services, right? That's all this is. It's like HAP, which you talked about. If you give people €500, €600 to help with their energy bills, which obviously is very welcome to the people who need that.
Yeah.
But in effect, you've just given that money directly to the energy companies, where if you put a cap on the energy prices for you and I as consumers, it's the same. But as taxpayers, we don't spend any fucking money on it. And we just curtail slightly the profits of these runaway fucking profits of these energy companies, which is just a much more imaginative and smarter way to do it rather than in this way. It's like, oh, we found some money down the couch. We need to spend it on something. So let's spend it without pissing anyone off, without changing anything, without doing any politics whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like spending it like on... Like, it's like when you get like a big load of fucking money and you can decide to buy something tangible or you can decide to drink it. And sometimes you have a really good time drinking it, but you're not going to have it the next morning. It's going to be gone. And like, we are basically spending it's essentially a difference of ideology. So one, people think that the government should be there to maintain the market. So rather than seeing people across the line completely default on their energy bills and maybe decide to not pay them because the prices are so outrageous, this money takes it from them on the money that they pay through VAT and direct and indirect tax or whatever, puts that money together and then hands it directly to the energy provider, which then charges them an above average amount than they would normally. So you're still getting charged more, but they're just making it a little less ridiculous. And that is a trend that's running throughout this entire budget, is that they're not investing in infrastructure, social then we're not investing in social infrastructure. We're not investing in general infrastructure like houses or improving, you know, kind of like facilities or whatever. What we're doing is we're giving it to suppliers. It's called, it's actually called a demand subsidy. So it's like basically where when the market has gotten so fucking out of control that like there is a natural impediment to people being able to buy anything. Like if you're Adam Smith or if you're like a libertarian, you would imagine, okay, well, then what has to happen is the market needs to regulate. But like at the moment, the government feel like they have to step in to maintain business. So businesses that aren't profitable or can't maintain the insane, economic storm that we're about to ride into, rather than going under and then prices adjusting, we're basically maintaining it by taking it money from everybody and giving it to them to maintain the shitty market as it stands today.
Yeah, like to me, it's a sign of like utter failure that you would see this like giant structural problem where like these private providers have hiked prices up and people can't afford them and be like, okay, I guess we'll give people a bit of money so they can afford them for the next few weeks. Like to me, that's just a sign of, like I said, like a failed state and like just abject inability to like manage things, which is the point of what politicians should do. But to them, it's just like that is their ideology, because as Len said, they believe that the market should provide those things and that they just, what they do is just prop up the market. So that's exactly what they're doing, making sure that everything goes on as normal. They think that like the energy providers should not be challenged in how much they should charge. So for them, they're like, it's ideological. But for me, it's just like a sign of like failure and like inability to like manage things. Because capitalism is irresponsible, as we've talked about before. Like, and we're peddled this idea that it's responsible and that there's like a plan that everyone is following, but there isn't. And this is clearly indicative of that.
Well, hell, this isn't a responsible thing as well.
You said capitalism's not responsible, but this is the government spending money? Is this not socialism? Is this not what we want?
Oh,
very good question.
That's a good point, Matthew.
No.
I guess I would think that socialism is about providing like free public services. Like socialism would be nationalizing the energy supply so that like the government provides it to you for free and you have democratic control over the government in a much more enhanced version of democracy than we have now. So basically you are in control of the price of the energy being provided to you. That would be socialism. Right now, the government are doing, like we said, propping up markets of capitalism, so allowing them to sustain. Because you have to remember, like, Marx's whole thing was, like, capitalism is a snake that will eat itself. Like, capitalism is so destructive and so irresponsible, as I said, that it will eventually fall apart and people will, like, rise and rebel. And, like, this is, like, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are, like, you know, like, by doing these kind of things, they're like, making sure that that doesn't happen, making sure that people have just enough that they aren't going to like rise and rebel and actually do structural change. So it's like, yeah, as in, obviously it's welcome that people are being given some relief on the insane bills that they have to pay. We're in no way saying that these are bad things, but I'm saying that what would be a good thing is entire structural readjustment so that we don't have to pay for energy, so that we don't have to pay for rent and stuff like that. But obviously we're never going to be given this by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I didn't expect that.
Or even just like, even just investing in infrastructure at all, right? Rather than, because like, none of this is about investing in infrastructure whatsoever.
Yeah.
No, it's just about maintaining the markets.
Like, I mean,
so it's funny as well. Like when you see the pre-budget, the mini budget, the petit budget, of our next door neighbors, like the type of insane fiscal policies that like Margaret Thatcher couldn't have dreamed up in the last rattling stroke induced dream that she did experience. Like there's no way in fucking hell that she would have even been as callous as to do some of the things that they're proposing to do. Even though they are obviously Margaret Thatcher Tribute Act. But even then, when it came to the energy prices, they needed to give fucking people money, because if they didn't, it would essentially just like collapse their government. There'd be literal people dying and there would be mass unpayment. And if you had that, then the entire, like, you know, the entire thing would collapse. The entire energy market would collapse. Even when they brought them in front of a tribunal and, you know, smacked them on the wrist and said, you're making lots of money and you're not planning on plowing it back into infrastructure and you're not going to invest it. This is all going to go to your investors. Like, they didn't have any, the energy companies didn't have anything to say to that. Ireland is no different. When you think of the car of gas in Ireland, all of that is owned by fucking Canadian firms. There's lots of like pension fucking firms, Canadian pension firms that own loads, huge swathes of Ireland. But like, that's like our energy suppliers are owned by large corporations who enjoy the dividends that we give them. And that's essentially what's happening with that. This massive fucking, blank check that the government have just given them.
Yeah. So obviously my question about socialism was a joke, like just to drive the point home, spending money is not necessarily a left-wing thing, right? That's not that, like the Republicans in the US during COVID gave one of the biggest stimulus packages ever seen. Like, these parties, as I said in the last episode, like even these right-wing ideologues, when they see a crisis coming that might make the whole house of cards fall down, they are pretty quick to act on it and make sure that doesn't happen.
They fall in line.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of shocked like that maybe this budget, when we did have this money to spend, didn't go even further. Like, I don't know how much it's going to do to actually insulate Irish people from the worst of this incoming cost of living crisis. Although there's a few things we didn't mention as well, that just to reel them off. So I think a really big one and probably one of the most positive ones is the change to tuition fees that have gone down from €3,000 a year to 2,000.
We did it, guys. All of those protests, cumulatively,
honestly, all we needed wasn't the protest, it was just Google to turn a little bit more profit one year, then we get what we need. But I mean, I think we still have the highest education fees in the EU, or we're right up there. We definitely were number one with 3,000. Yeah. So I think I still don't think 2,000 brings us into second place. Then there's the expansion of the free GP visit card, which is another one of these things that like helps so many people, right? So many people are going to be really happy with the fact that you don't have to pay €70 to go see your fucking GP anymore, which is actually just fucking ridiculous to begin with. But at the same
Absolutely so unethical.
At the same time, you've got all this money that you're going to invest in health, and rather than spending it on infrastructure and hospitals, on nurses or anything like this, you're giving it to these basically small business owners of GPs who are not the struggling medical professionals in Ireland. And that's where the money's going. And obviously it's good that people are more people are going to get free GP. Really, it's kind of ridiculous that it's half. Why isn't it 100%? But, you know, it's obviously a good thing, take the victories. But again, it's not doing anything to improve the state of the health service. It's not investing in the health service, which is in complete rags. It's not fit for purpose whatsoever. I think that's pretty much all the highlight.
Well, no, I think we need to talk about housing. So they've done some random bullshit about, like, did I just say bullshit? That was awful. Can we
bullshit, guys.
Oh my God, I want to fucking kill myself. That was awful. Oh, like, put me on Inside Politics right now.
That is, oh,
put me
inside
politics.
Would you go
on Inside Politics?
Yeah, as a politics.
You want to get inside him?
Would I go inside? I'd go on anything that wanted me to talk. Yeah, I'd be on Joe Rogan tomorrow.
I'd go on Joe Rogan.
I would go on Joe Rogan, obviously. Yeah. Joe Rogan, like, fans of Joe Rogan's could be radicalized into socialism so easily.
Absolutely. So.
Bernie went down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very popular.
I think that's fair enough. Like, reach out, outreach, blah, blah, blah.
Pat Leahy's on next week.
You know.
Yeah.
Pat Leahy's on my dick next week. Anyway, so they're going to be making funding to support, like, a bunch of new HAP and RAS tenancies, blah, 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 blah. They've said they're going to, like, build a bunch of new homes, but there's still, like, an absolutely minimal amount. And then they're also just like boring shite. But the main thing is that they've introduced this vacant property tax, which obviously people have been campaigning for ages.
This was insane.
I missed this.
So this obviously sounds really good. A vacant property tax obviously makes sense because we have so many derelict buildings around Ireland. But then there's all of these like fucking typical small print ways out. And like when you work in housing in Ireland, like I do, like it's just like the housing market is just like a black market. Like there is no regulation in our country. No. And because like landlords are literally just absolute free for all gangsters who think they can behave in any way. They think there is no laws. They think there is literally no laws surrounding being a landlord. They think they can just own a gaff and just shove people in it and do whatever they want. They genuinely think that. Like, so any introduction of new laws, first of all, are going to be ignored by these people. And second of all, like if there is any even hint of a loophole in the laws, it will be used immediately to basically render the law null and void, because that's what landlords do now. They just like ignore any vague attempts at regulation we have because the culture is like so poisonous. So apparently like the vacant homes tax is, first of all, it's entirely self-assessed. So that means no assessment will ever happen. It doesn't apply to derelict properties, which is just fucking stupid. It doesn't apply to properties recently sold or currently listed for sale or rent. And it doesn't apply to properties that are vacant as a result of significant refurbishment work. So you can just imagine every single landlord being like, oh, I'm about to do some significant refurbishment work in here. Sorry, Dara, you have to leave. You know what I mean? As in, it's just...
Or just like renting out for a month. Just yeah. Put it onto Airbnb, rent it out for a month. You're done. Bish, bash, bosh.
Yeah, because it's like, if it's something like 30 days, if it's rented for less than 30 days over a 12-month period or something, it counts as vacant. Yeah, so then they just rent it out for... So it's just like, it just seems that it, like let's wait and see, but it just seems as if it's going to bring us absolutely nothing. And it,
can you buy your way out of it? Because you know what this...
I mean, it's not...
You know there's this rule about if you're a property developer, you need to build a certain percentage of social houses, but you can actually just pay a fee to not have to do that. It's just so ridiculous. I mean, with the vacant property tax, like this is like, I mean, this has been a thing for housing activists for so long, a drum that we've been banging, that there's actually enough vacant properties to house to fit all the housing needs. You don't even need to build them in theory. Obviously, you do. But like in theory. And like a vacant property tax, I guess, is welcome. Like, it's especially if it didn't have those loopholes. But like, really, these properties should be expropriated rather than taxed, which councils already have the power to do with compulsory purchase orders, which they refuse to do. None of the councils want to set a precedent that they can do it for housing, even though the law is so clear that a compulsory purchase order takes place for when something can be for an infrastructure project to go ahead for the common good. This is the phrase, the common good. And right now, no one has set the precedent that putting people in housing is the common good, which is just so ludicrous.
It's anathema to them,
Yeah, like that's like, okay, if that's not the common good, I don't know what the fuck is. So, like, I'll believe it when I see it with this vacant property tax, see if it makes any fucking difference whatsoever.
Well, like, I mean, they know that it's not going to make any difference because they forecast that it's going to, and it's so funny, the framing and the journalists are running with, it could raise as much as 4 million euro. I'm just like, they spend more on fucking sandwiches in the Dáil. Like,
get a fucking grip.
Like, literally. Yeah. Like, it's like
it's like being presented as a money-raising opportunity rather than what it's supposed to be, which is a house-gathering opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, the thing with housing is that we need to be incredibly, incredibly ambitious and demanding. Like, the housing situation in Ireland is fucking humiliating. Like, it is, like, one of the worst in the world. And the fact that they have put out a whole budget when we have, like, the worst housing crisis that Ireland has seen and one of the worst in the world, and, like I've said, an absolute black market, and that they've done basically fuck all to address it. It's just like guillotine them, like get them out. Like, they are ideologically corrupt and inept.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
Oh my God, you cannot say that. Helen, you can't say that.
You can't say that. Inside politics.
Yeah.
You got to be impartial. But no, that leads on to my next... I say next question as if I've been asking questions the whole time. I haven't been. But that leads me on to the next point.
Who's the dumb one now?
The listeners can ask questions.
Yeah. Actually, I did. Never mind. I was going to say, I did put up an Instagram story asking listeners to send us questions, and nobody replied.
Oh my God.
It's embarrassing.
I feel so jilted.
So maybe they can't ask questions. They're really dumb people.
They can't.
They don't know what we're saying.
No, what was I going to say? You mentioned that, so the government obviously did not take this opportunity of this budget where they have a surplus to actually start addressing the housing issue, right? That's not what happened. So my question was, do you think a budget like this, like a government budget, is the place anyway to be making political changes, to make sweeping infrastructure changes like that? Like, it seems kind of absurd to me that, do other countries do this where the biggest political event of the year is the fucking budget, as if that fucking means anything? Like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, we're not a house. We don't have to budget our little, like, expenses here, like a car, two holidays.
Like, it's a really big deal. Like, every country has, like, it's like a really, really big... Like, I mean, when Americans do it, they always take a picture in front of it, and it's always like a fucking library in front of them. And then, like, with the British, like, you know, they have the Chancellor just, like, standing in front of, fucking number 10. Like, they're like a child going to school with their lunchbox. And it's like, Mommy, look what I have. It's red. I used to be that type of cynical person who hated the photo ops that the obviously like photo inept, photo thirsty whores that we have in politics. Like, I just don't understand who organizes them. But in this particular budget, we had our joint financial ministers, Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath, staring at each other like with the fucking book open, like with these big shit-eating grins on their face. Like, they look weird. Like, they just look so untrustworthy, and they, you know, like Cheshire cats, like they don't look correct. I don't know why they're just like, okay, so like this, I'm the one who wrote it and this is the book I have. Like, it's just like, why are you the way you are? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. It like they don't. We know it's like do you know like when they pass a policy of like say like milk, then they have to have like a politician like drinking a glass of milk. Like, is it just so like people who read like they really think that Irish people can't read and they're going to be just like, okay, well we need to like put something together. Like these are kind of like Roman serfs, so we just need to like do like these like big drawings so people will kind of get the picture. Like me milk, like you know me book, like book me. And they used to actually, do people remember this in the during the Celtic Tiger? They used to always include models,
oh, yeah,
like really hot girls, like being just like holding lately up a sign saying milk.
It'd be Glenda Gilson or something, like getting milk poured all over her or something. I don't think that one happened.
Yeah, like I mean, or like fucking Vogue McWilliams or something like that. Doesn't make any sense.
Vogue but, McWilliams.
isn't she married now?
Yeah, she married David McWilliams.
Yeah.
When you marry someone, you get Mac in front of you.
Yeah, it means wife.
Oh. Vogue son of Williams.
Vogue Williams is too busy.
Don't get me started on fucking Vogue son.
Vogue Williams is too busy writing articles in the paper about how we need to bring back internment for Muslims.
Oh, yeah. Or like explaining to us about how her child likes it one like detergent brand over another one. Fucking sellout for somebody. So for somebody who did fuck all, Vogue Williams has a very fucking big ego. The only thing that she should be celebrated for is the lowest fucking voice a cis woman could ever muster. She's a fucking joke. She's like literally, she's done nothing with her life apart from being hot. She's hot and she speaks with a low voice. That's it.
Like us.
She's a very popular podcast.
Does she? What's it called? My Low Voice. Is it AMSR? Yeah. ASMR.
I don't know.
AMSR.
She's like, my name is Vogue.
Is that what she sounds like? I don't even know what she sounds like.
My name is Vogue. I love the Royals. I love the Royals.
It's my therapist ghosted me. That's her.
Oh my
God. Is that
God.
Her?
That's her.
I always see people talking about that. Oh, it's her and but people love Joanne McNally.
Who's Joanne McNally?
Another podcaster for us to fight with.
Yeah, great. Well, this is what I have to say as a misogynist. Vogue, I don't think that you should be whoring your kid out for detergent money. I don't think it's very ethical of you. I also don't think that you're like somebody, you're like, I know that you've been like sold as like some sort of like trustworthy face, and I'm sure that you've like scored well in that ability, but most Irish people find you very distrustful. And if it was the 1850, you'd be burnt as a witch for having that voice.
Distrustful bitch.
Yeah. And it's like so weird that somebody heard her and she was just like radio voice.
What
like,
other podcasts can we go after?
Could we come slightly back on topic?
No.
What about that army one that Laura Whitmore did?
What? Join the army now.
Do you remember this?
The one that was like Starship Troopers.
She's really hot though.
Laura
don't want to
alienate
her.
For the British Army, where it was like, it was sold to her, I think, as like this feminist thing. It's like women in the army. But she's just there like whoring for the British Army.
Yeah. You can see, by contrast, we're incredibly feminist because we use stuff like whoring yourself for the army.
Well, you said,
Or Vogue whoring her son.
We've used whoring for male politicians.
That's true.
Well.
And you know what? When we're thinking of whore, we're thinking of a man. So
I am.
Yeah. So don't come for us, because don't infect me with your own self-indulged misogyny. I'm thinking of a person of the male persuasion when I'm thinking of a whore.
Anyway,
Matt's question earlier
about the budget, right? So you were asking whether you thought the budget was a good place to do politics. And I think that's an interesting question. In terms of, because I think that we really need to get out of this like infectious, in a negative way, economics mindset that the most important factor when you make decisions, it should be budgetary. Because that's not true. The most important factor when you make political decisions should be like, will it make people's lives better? That's like what socialism is to me. It's about moving away from the focus being on like money and moving up the focus onto being people, society, socialism. So as in the idea that, first of all, the idea that a deficit is always really bad, I think that that is something you should consider. Like if you have a deficit, but you have used that deficit to have like really, really good social programs and people's lives are better, is that a negative thing? In inversely, having a surplus but having really crap public services and people's lives are crap, is that a good thing? Like, our GDP is always growing, but we can tell that our country is failing to provide a safe and comfortable society for the people who are living in it. And I think that, yeah, the idea that, like, the budget comes first and the actions come second, I really think that's something that we should reconsider. And I've been reading some, like, really interesting books on monetary policy recently. They're not so relevant for Ireland because you need to have a sovereign currency.
Not so relevant for Ireland because they wouldn't be able to read them.
They're, yeah. Or maybe understand what I'm saying. Their brains now are just like, la, 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 la. As soon as I said monetary.
Homer Simpson with the two monkeys, like, crashing the cymbals.
Yeah. No, we love the listeners. This cannot become a theme.
We're nothing. Yeah, no, we're nothing without it. I'm on your side. These guys, specifically Helen, I don't know why. She's just like, fuck them all. Like, I'm like, no, please. They're our bread and butter. Like, we love them so much.
They're literally all we have.
Talk to us about modern monetary policy.
Well,
modern monetary theory, MMT.
MMT. If you have control over your own currency, if you have a sovereign currency, such as like the British pound, I mean, that means that money, and if it's fiat, which means it's not linked to anything real,
like
gold, for example, how we detached from the gold standard. Money used to be linked to the value of gold. We detached from that in the 70s, and then everything went completely tits up and speculation went wild because money has no inherent measurable value. Which you could say, like, obviously you can go real far and say that nothing in the world has any inherent measurable value, but whatever. But like, you know, if you have a fiat currency, that means that, you know, money is speculative and quite fictional, and you actually can sort of just fictionalize it. Like in the US, where they have dollars, like if they owe a debt to the Bank of Japan, they will just credit the Bank of Japan with that amount of money, and they can just make that money come out of anywhere. And then the only thing you need to deal with is managing inflation. So inflation is like when prices are rising and rising and rising. And obviously, if you have that too much, that's really bad because it means that even if you have increased wages, people don't have enough money to match the increased prices. You can see where this is going. So with MMT, if you have so the American deficit is actually like a fiction, a political fiction. Like, they could write it off at any time. It's a fiction used to keep people, you know, I sound tinfoil hatty, but, you know, to keep people in place or whatever. And also, a lot of American politicians are just stupid and actually don't understand economics at all. This may shock you, so this doesn't apply so much to Ireland because we're in the euro, so we don't have control over our own currency, sadly. But it's just an interesting way to think about the fact that, like, you know, in America, their deficit is basically fictional and they can just credit the money. And the only thing, this is what I was trying to come back to, the only thing they need to be concerned about is managing inflation. So the US can do things like, it'll always have enough money to fund its social programs, but that doesn't mean that it can just like inject cash into the economy at any time, because that will lead to inflation unless you have price controls, because you'll still have a market that can set its prices freely. So if people have loads of money, they'll just start setting the prices up more and more, right? So you need to be able to, if you continue to have a market, then you need to be like making sure that inflation doesn't happen. Yeah, you need to be carefully managing your monetary policy and injecting the money in careful, select ways so that inflation doesn't happen. But you actually will never have a deficit. And there will always be enough money to fund things. And so this question of how will we fund it goes out the window. And while I'm saying that's not so applicable to Ireland, the reason I'm talking about it is because I think that it can like widen our political imagination a little bit and maybe encourage us to think a little bit more about like, is it so bad to be in deficit? Like, are these things that we're afraid of, that we've been taught to be afraid of, are they really so scary? And like, when I was listening to Inside Politics, your man was just like, but it's the age old question, isn't it? How are we going to fund it? And that is the age old question, but it's a boring question. Like, there is money there. We can fund things.
Like, especially when we have a fucking surplus, which is what's happened now, right?
Yeah.
I think to be not to, I don't want to be fair to the Irish government, but
no.
So how do you say that in another way? But I mean, they've panicked. They've seen that there's a surplus and they've panicked and like, oh fuck, we actually have to spend this money because they don't like being in surplus. Especially in a time when the economy is not doing so great, like it just makes sense to get more money into the economy to get things going again. Which like in those cases, like For example, like in when the financial crash happened in 2008, the countries that responded the best to like a series of economic downturns that just looked like it was unarrestable were the countries like China and the other East Asian countries, which realized that the best thing to do in that scenario was to fucking stimulus, and spend so much money. And spend as much money as possible and ramp up all the infrastructure spending and build all those highways and trains that you wanted to build. Like, that was the exact time to do it. Yeah, because the idea of being in a deficit was not scary. That was exactly what you should do, because ultimately the money's fucking fake. And at the time, the US were handing out like credit swaps, like they were candy anyway, because the US realized that if the world economy collapsed, they would also collapse. Don't know where I'm going with this. Basically, thinking about economy and politics in terms of like a budget is just fucking stupid. Like, it doesn't make, that's not how it works, as Helen so very well explained.
Like, also ideologically, like, hoarding money is not a positive thing. Like, there's this idea that, like, you know, it's good that we have a surplus. It's good that we always have extra money. Why? Obviously I get that, but like, I just, like, the money should be used in order to make people's lives better. There is an idea that we should just always be like saving and having more money and blah, blah, blah. Like, for a rainy day fund, like, outline that further. Like, for what sort of a rainy day? Like, what is going to happen, and how will having like a big load of extra money help it? If, you know, like, we have all of this money now and they're like not using it correctly in order to actually like improve people's lives. Like we've outlined, they're just using it to like keep out, you know, broken system barely functioning. So I just think that, I'm not saying obviously that like you can, you know, that money is just irrelevant. But what I'm saying is that we've been taught to be very fearful of these words and these concepts of having a deficit or being in debt.
Yeah.
But I think that we should reconsider that fear, because it's conservative, and fear is a conservativizing factor. Like, we need to be ambitious and optimistic and stuff. And like, it's the same as like, I don't know, like, you know, sometimes you can just do the things that you're not allowed to do. Like, sometimes you can just like not pay your rent anymore. Mm-hmm. And when your landlord is like, you need to get out, you can just be like, I'm not leaving. And sometimes like doing that can be like real empowering and make you think about how, like, if you're in a big debt to someone, you should be like, maybe I won't pay it.
Well, like, this is the
especially
thing.
Do that if you're like a fucking country, right? Like, or like, exactly, a bank. Like, you can just, like, what happens all the time when banks and countries go, oh yeah, we can't really pay that back. And the whoever is owed the money just goes, well, shit, okay.
Yeah, let's restructure your debt. Yeah. Like, this is one thing. Debt is a very scary thing for most of people in the country. Across the world, debt is very, very bad, right? But rich people don't have wealth. They have debt. Mm. The rich have debt and they have assets. And they use that debt to buy assets. And they leverage that assets against their debt to get more debt. They don't have lots of fucking currency. They just have debt. And debt is something that people use in exchange in order to get things that they fucking want. And it's like Matt alluded to earlier on. It's like, you know, it's if you consider huge countries and banks, they're just, what's that like adage? If you owe the bank a million, you have a problem. If you owe the bank 200 or 400 million, they have a problem. Like, it's this whole idea is that, like, when you're big enough and bold enough, you can restructure and actually kind of like almost like bend the reality of fiscal policy around you, like some sort of fucking terrifying dying star or whatever. And like, that kind of demonstrates the fiction of what we're dealing with here, which is that debt and money aren't as fixed as we think that they are.
Yeah.
I will say this just in a way of kind of, you know, finishing, that inflation is real. Inflation is fucking destroying people's lives. The energy crisis is in a lot of ways people taking advantage, energy companies taking advantage of a global situation in order to make more money for themselves. That's one of the reasons why the EU is considering a windfall tax, which Ireland should benefit from. Inflation has gone up in Ireland around 10%, okay? Look at the budget. Do your little fucking budget calculators. They're everywhere, okay? Do you think that has your money gone up 10%? Has your income gone up 10%? from these pittance, these fucking crumbs. So when people are saying a bit like, you know, when conservative journalists say, oh, this is a giveaway, this is like the Late Late Show, like they don't understand like the in terms of like money in real terms. Like this is like fucking economic basics. Like I am fucking shit with numbers and I was able to pick this up. Like they like saying calling these things giveaways when we're in the midst of like one of the worst recessions since the since like 87. Or sorry, we were experiencing the worst inflation since 87, is fucking insane. Your if your money hasn't gone up by at least 10%, not even considering the amount of shit that you're going to have to pay for energy and the rest, then you are, like, you're getting fucked over. The people who, people across the, who are in social welfare, or who are receiving social welfare, they are going to feel a real decline in their living standards, because even with the fucking fanfare of the extra 12 fucking quid, they're still going to be worse off because of inflation.
Yeah, anyway, that's and what the I idea said. That like the government are like, oh, the government are giving handouts. It's like the government's job should be to make sure that these people don't live in poverty. And the idea that they think that even making a tiny step towards that is somehow too much for the government to do is just stupid, like, and ideologically corrupt and dumb and a ridiculous way to run a country. Like Glenn said, like, we are in a complete crisis of capitalism where no one can afford anything in this country, even the most basic things. And instead of having a government that can restructure things so that we can afford to live, which is what you should do in a crisis, assess and restructure, instead we just have them putting tiny little patchworks on the system that is completely broken and hoping we'll think that that is enough. And, like, you shouldn't accept it as enough.
Yeah, so, I mean, to maybe one of the last points to take that political point, like, I think this budget is going to be probably a pretty good thing for the government in that they've been seen to actually do something. They've been seen to help people out. They've been seen to, quote-unquote, put money in people's pockets, right? Without actually having to abandon their ideology whatsoever or actually change anything or look like they're hypocrites or anything. Which presumably for them, they're thinking that this is going to act as a bulwark against the rise of Sinn Féin and the rise of the opposition parties, which depressingly might work to a certain extent, right? Obviously, there's probably not going to be a general election for another while. It'll be interesting to see how the next year or two pans out. Is this budget going to be anywhere near enough to stem the tide of these coming crises or the crises that we're already living in? Yeah, I wonder what you guys think. Like, is this, would they have done this? Would they have done this budget anyway if that threat of Sinn Féin wasn't there, or does that definitely play a part? We've been talking about the budget being not necessarily the best place to do politics or whatever, but obviously the government are doing politics with this budget. And I'm trying to think, like, what is their political goal here with the budget? What's their thinking? What's their angle?
Yeah, I think, as we've said, they're hoping to placate people into not uprising. And yeah, I think, like you said, this is their way of not addressing that anything is really wrong, or saying, no, don't worry, like, we know things are not very good, but we can fix it with these tiny little things. Like, we don't need to have a big change. I guess I wouldn't think too much about like what motivates them, because they are like thick knuckleheaded morons, like even dumber than the people who listen to our podcast. But I do think that they are probably like, I think that they're probably frightened of Sinn Féin. They have seen that there's like a cost of living coalition. They obviously can see that people are like upset. Like they must see that their people are upset and that there's like change looming. So yeah, I'm sure that has motivated them in some way. But at the end of the day, the takeaway is just that they are trying to make sure that no one looks any deeper at what is causing these issues.
I would say this. I was getting drunk last week with a old friend who I knew from college and had seen her in ages, and one of the things that she said was that we were talking about the next election. She said she was probably going to vote for Sinn Féin coming up, and one of the things she followed up with the kind of like standard, my parents are blah 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 blah, and I said to her, I was just like, people don't understand, and other generations, that people who aren't millennials or Zoomers don't understand. It's houses, 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 homes, homes, homes. If you can't give somebody an asset like a home, or supply somebody where somebody with a stable fucking place to live, and if you want to play imagination and say that everybody wants to be renting because it's so dynamic and you want to be a nomadic worker, blah, 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 you failed. And it doesn't matter what the fucking hell they do, they have no solution to it because their solution is market practice and demand side subsidies. So they're not going to be able to fix the problem. And the person who fixes that problem or fucks loads of money at it or whatever they do to try and build tons of more houses, they are going to fix the problem. They're going to be the people who are going to get the votes. And people are so desperate at the moment that they will vote for anybody to do it. That's no like thing on Sinn Féin, but like, you know, like it doesn't matter. Any opposition party that was in at the moment, if they had somebody like who knew what they were talking about, like Eoin Óibrean, you know, they would be getting the votes because homes are like the top priority for most people in Ireland who don't own any property.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it, inevitably, like the upsetting and annoying thing is that it hasn't happened already. But as you say, again, as long as that housing problem goes unsolved, it will be the end of the Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil nexus. Like, it's a crisis so large, so massive that they've done nothing to resolve in any way. That it's completely untenable going forward. Just as the time goes on, and those houses still aren't there, and more people are trying to buy them, it's just going to become a situation that's only going one way, and that's the absolute fucking downfall of those absolute cretins that have been fucking our country for 100 years.
Woo! Down with them.
Lead them to the gallows.
I just want to end the podcast by saying I love our very intelligent listeners, and fuck you, Helen. Specifically Helen. I don't know why she's been so vitriolic.
Glenn, do you only love the really intelligent ones? Because I love all of them, even the really dumb ones.
They're all intelligent. Don't know what you're talking about.
I love the listeners. I'm sorry. This was just a bit I started at the start and I just can't let bits go and I had to keep it up. But, you know, I love them
I
all,
do
obviously.
Love them, but, you know, like, you know when you're out in public and they just keep coming up?
Oh, my
like,
God. Stop.
Like,
Ma from Case was left
I was, like, in the fucking toilet the other day and this guy was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm so close to your urine. And it was just like, keep it in your pants, pal. And then he was just like,
obviously love you, but just be cool.
Yeah, I know. That puppy man has been fucking following me around. It's like disgusting.
The amount of flowers in my house, like me and my housemates,
I can see them.
And down the stairs, just like gifts everywhere. You can see them all behind me. Like, I have
Oh my God. Oh my God, is that all from them? That's so crazy.
Well, hell, that's what you get for putting your address just on the Instagram bio. And it is there, guys. Go look.
Yeah.
Please send me flowers.
Yeah. Flowers for Algernon.
Hey, I didn't think they could read.
Okay.
Let
it go. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy budget.
From the haunts of daily life, where is wage the daily strife? Common wants and common cares cuts the human heart with tears. Lies like lions after us lumbering in greatly unknowable numbers. Tyrants pour around with apocalyptic sound on the charge of iron wheels and the crash of horses' heels. Rise like lions after us lumbering.